28 after the hour. That's the hour of 9 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of Central Texas. I'm Jim Park. I reside in Central Texas. David Allen Punt is an exile? No, that's not the word. Right word. To East Dakota.
No, he's staying in the cold country. I mean, he's staying up north.
I didn't go anywhere.
He didn't flee.
I didn't go anywhere. Everybody else left.
Dr. Dunn, though, has had the good sense to move to Texas after multiple years in Louisiana and up in the Seattle area. Did you ever live in Cleveland? I know you have a daughter up that way.
Never lived in Cleveland. My wife's dad was from Cleveland. Never lived in Cleveland.
Did you know
I lived
that?
In Pennsylvania.
Yeah, okay. Did you know that Cleveland has one of the largest salt mines in the world underneath Lake Erie there?
Well, let's dig it up.
Well, they are. They're still they're still working it here. Salt pouring out of that place. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Let's not purify it. Let's just dig it up.
That's
and use
right.
it in, on our table. I mean,
Dr. Don Clark,
Don
is a member of the board at Creation Moments. He lives in Garden Valley, Texas, which is in Central Texas, kind of on the east side, kind of leans toward Louisiana a little bit. And he's a vendor there, has vineyards and a winery. And we're pleased to talk with Don just about every Tuesday morning, typically on things scientific. And I'm looking for the science in this article. This is from the Cornwall Alliance. And the Cornwall Alliance is all about the environment and protecting it and being good stewards. They have a bone to pick, though, with all the climate change people. This particular article is dated July 21st of this year by Sterling Burnett. And it's talking about the New York Times assessment of the situation is thus. This will kind of explain the topic. Fires are burning across the breadth of Canada, blanketing parts of the eastern United States with choking orange-gray smoke. Puerto Rico was under a severe heat alert, as other parts of the world have been recently. Earth's oceans have heated up at an alarming rate. Human-caused climate change is the force behind extremes like these. Don, what say you? Oh, that about sums it up.
Oh, yeah, they want to blame everything on human source climate change. It's all part of a scare tactic, of course. And if you look deeper into these issues, you really find the real answer. And these forest fires in Canada, they've been happening, obviously, for hundreds, if not thousands of years, this is just another season of fires, just like we've had seasons of fires. I mean, you can, in California, I mean, it is the Indians back in the day knew that they were going to have fires every year. And so they would even, you know, burn some of the other underbrush so that it wouldn't be as bad as it had been in the more recent years.
They were wise enough to set their own backfires then, eh? And protect themselves.
Like that's pretty yes. Neat. Yeah. And we used to do that. And mm-hmm. Canada used to do that. And Canada does have a mitigation type of program, but they're not putting money into it. And so what do you think happens when you don't take care of the underbrush and you don't take care of the dead trees and manage that? Well, you have a lot of fuel to burn, and all it takes then, once you have the fuel, once you have the right conditions, that is dry, a dry season, all it takes is an ignition source, and that could be from a passerby throws out their cigarette, or a campfire that wasn't properly put out, or you know, some other source. Even lightning, for example, can cause a forest fire, and has in many, many locations. But the question is the current forest fires that are burning in Canada, is this anything, you know, something new, or is the intensity greater than what we've had in the past? And the answer to that question is no. If you go back in history, you find out that forest fires created yellow or dark days multiple times in history in Canada, such as May 12th 1706, October 21st, 1716, August 9th, 1732, April 19th, 1780, and it goes on to, you know, to the present time. The last one mentioned in this particular article is September 24th through the 30th, 1950. So many of those dates were pre-carbon emission days, and so you can't blame it on excess carbon in the atmosphere for all of these forest fires. So, what's the deal? And, the deal is you got seasons where it gets drier, and when it gets drier and you have forest and you've got burning material, then you're going to have the chances of forest fires goes up. And I remember you drive through the country, and it could be the Smoky Mountains, or it could be over in Washington State in California. You go into a national forest, and they will have forest fire, you know, conditions, whether it be mild or moderate, or especially in Yosemite, for example. You've got forest fires, conditions, and they're warning people as to, okay, the conditions are right that, you can start a forest fire, so make sure you put your campfire out. And when we were growing up, of course, we had Smokey the Bear on the television showing us how to properly put our fires out. Well, I haven't seen Smokey in a long time, so I don't know if people don't know how to put forest fires out.
That's a good point. I haven't seen Smokey either for some time. I know in California they've had some horrendous fires. They've isolated the cause. They blame Pacific Gas and Electric, for example, big power company out there. But as I understand it, they've had money to tend those forests for years, for decades, and haven't done it. The same way they haven't invested in their water system in California. The money's there. It's allocated. Nothing gets done. And even recently, and I was at a Bible conference, and this is 5 or 6 years ago, and a young woman pastor from California was speaking at the conference and describing what was going on in California with the fires. And she said there was quite a movement developing to use goats, to bring goats in to eat up that underbrush and help protect against fires. And I'm told that saved the Reagan Library just a couple of years ago from a fire.
Wow.
They had goats, 100 goats in there. And now California is complaining about the goats. They're saying that's not good stewardship. I mean, come on, people.
No, it's fertilizing. It's fertilizing the forest. We can't have this.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have natural fertilization. That would be horrendous.
Hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, people are just crazy. I don't know. I think a lot of folks are not thinking logically because, you got to manage. If you don't want to have severe forest fires, you've got to manage them. And like I said, both California and Canada were managing, but in recent years, for whatever reasons, they're not managing anymore, and it may be the form of government that they have that is causing the issue. Now, it's an interesting thing. This article also pointed out, which I didn't know before, but actually high CO2 levels help prevent forest fires. Not cause them.
Hmm.
They help prevent forest fires because the plants in a high CO2 atmosphere, and our CO2 is not high compared to, the history. I think we're at 400 parts per million or billion, whatever. I don't remember the exact numbers, so don't hold me to it. But, increased carbon dioxide causes plants to not transpire as much. And we would, in human terms, it's like, us not sweating as much. And so the plants don't lose water as much. So if they are not losing water at the rate, they could, if a lower CO2 concentration, then the soil is actually moister. more moist,
I think. Yeah. And I should add here that Dr. Don is not a linguist, but he is a biochemist, so we can take his word
for it
here.
So, you know, we make up words as we go, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But the point being that, indeed, CO2 is our friend when it comes to vegetation. And I think I've made that point in the past several times. And many people have made that point, that CO2 is not the enemy. CO2 is the friend of vegetation and plant life, that the more CO2 you have, the more growth in plants you have. And in this case, the less forest fires you have because of higher CO2 in the atmosphere. So if anything, the forest fires in Canada have subsided a bit in the last several decades because of a number of conditions, but one of them could be attributed to a little bit higher CO2 in the atmosphere.
Now, the New York Times article refers to oceans warming up more than normal, too. Can that be blamed on fossil fuels?
No. No, come on. I mean, you know, that's a tremendous heat sink. The oceans, you know, how much of the Earth is covered in water?
70%, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two-thirds or, you know, at least two-thirds of the Earth is covered in water. That's a tremendous heat sink. And the only thing that's going to really heat that up is going to be the sun. And so, you know, we are in a little Nino right now, in El Nino, which means that it's a little warmer temperatures because the oceans have warmed up a bit, and that's causing a little bit warmer conditions, you know, here in East Texas and in Texas and, you know, over the South and other parts of, you know, of the world over here. And so, but, you know, to blame that on CO2 in the atmosphere is—it's not even scientific. I mean, it's just ludicrous because the sun is the major factor to our temperatures, and when you're going through, as we are, and as I've spoken of, I think of maybe it was last week, an increase in sunspots, which means you have an increase in sun activity, which means you have an increase in solar radiance, then you should expect an increase in temperatures. And that indeed is what we're finding. And so the temperature increase that we're experiencing now, and some of the, you know, the heat wave and everything, you know, thank God this is, we must be on the declining part of this, because the last 2 years here in Texas were horrendous, as you may recall. This year, I mean, it's warm, okay, yeah, it's warm, but it hasn't been nearly as warm as it was the last 2 years, and we had many, if not, you know, a month or two of over 100 degree weather. We're not experiencing that at all this year. Yes, we have 100 degree, you know, weather, but it's not like we had in the last 2 years. So many things, as we've said in the past, contribute to our climate. And man's activity is relatively innocuous, if you will, to what's happening with our temperatures as opposed to natural phenomena. And, of course, man's lack of activity in this case of not taking care of your forest or, you know, can have a negative impact on forest fires. But you know, our burning of fossil fuels, and we've learned so much in the past, decade or two or three about how to clean up our burning of fossil fuels. For example, at a great expense, we've put on catalytic converters, which convert carbon monoxide and other chemicals into carbon dioxide, and we've cleaned up the exhaust of gas-powered engines, especially in our vehicles. And, you know, we've done things. We put scrubbers on smokestacks, and so the stuff that finally comes out of the smokestack is not all of this carbon being spewed out, but it's a cleaner, you know, cleaner gas that has much less impact on the environment.
Well, let me pose this question then. Is it the case that climate alarmists and we are both at heart concerned with good stewardship, protecting the earth, things that God has charged us to do, and they simply have a different take on it? Or is there a different motive here?
Oh, there's definitely a different motive. I mean, all you need to do is to go on to the World Economic Forum website and search anything under climate, and you'll find that one of their agendas, and the UN's agenda for that matter, they're all in bed together, is that, hey, if we can scare people into believing that there is a climate crisis, then, you know, we can push our agenda through, which is ultimately, it boils down to you won't own anything, but you'll like it. So they want to control everything, including taking away your vehicles, because you're not going to be able to afford the vehicle anymore, regardless of what type of vehicle it is. And, you know, you're not going to be able to afford housing. We saw that in the last couple of years, that housing prices have skyrocketed. And, you know, my children can't afford to get into housing. And I'm sure your children are having a hard time getting into housing, you know, these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the I wouldn't even call it poor management of the economy. I think it's programmed destruction of the economy. Mm. So, yeah, there definitely is an agenda behind the climate folks. And we are, certainly as Christians and people in general, called to be good stewards of our environment. So we shouldn't be doing, you know, things that are destroying our environment, but managing those things that God has given to us. And one is because, hey, this is our home. So if you don't manage your home, then, you know, you're not going to have any place to live, and it's not going to be good for you in the long term. So it's logical to do that, but to go to such extremes and to, you know, scream, you know, wolf or fire, if you will, in this case, in a theater to get everybody excited and rushing to the door, is uncalled for, and there's really no justification for it.
How do you combat it then? I mean, that this whole movement, I mean, it's bigger than just climate change. And we, you know, we've alluded to it, that the politics of the thing are at the heart of all this. And it's a matter of control, but to what end? I mean, how does this benefit anybody? How can they think that this would result in a better world? I'm talking about the globalists or whoever's behind this movement, and it's been going on for a generation or two. This has been thoroughly thought out and imposed on us. I hate to create another conspiracy theory. That's really David's department. But but if it comes from China,
I'm working on it.
Or big international corporations.
How do you combat it? And you combat it by information. I mean, honest information. Now, you know, the media and the social media has proven themselves to be on the opposite side of truth and on the opposite side of science, but on the side of propaganda, you know, for these agendas. We learned that very well during the COVID period. And but it's not, it extends to other areas, because if you start, you know, saying that oh, you know, man isn't causing such a great impact on the environment, then you'll be censored from these platforms, and so your message doesn't get out. So you have to rely on alternative news, and there's plenty of these days. Thank God, not all channels have been shut down. But if the government gets control of it, all channels will be shut down. And if they get control of the internet, everything will be shut down and controlled. And so the only information that you get is what Big Brother wants you to hear. And that's a very dangerous place to be. Our founding fathers obviously knew that that was a very dangerous place. And that's why we have the First Amendment, the freedom of speech. And, our government currently and... The collusion with the media companies is trampling all over our First Amendment. So it starts with understanding what these folks are doing and then just participating in grassroots movements to get the right people into our governments, even, you know, all the way down to our school boards, obviously, because our schools have turned into propaganda machines, just like the media has been turned into it. And it really is a problem that it's kind of like, you know, the frog in the kettle type of thing. The frog, if you slowly heat up the water, the frog won't jump out. But if you put a frog into hot water, he's going to jump out immediately. It's been a slow process over, you know, decades, basically. And we've been asleep at the wheel. But I think COVID opened the eyes of many people as to, wow, this is really dangerous to have, you know, the government tell you or force you to do something, and especially to take an experimental injection that could change your DNA and tell you, you have to take it if you want to do this, or you have to take it because, you know, you're working in the medical community and you can't work for this hospital unless you take this. I mean, this is unheard of. It actually goes against many of the treaties and everything that were put in after World War II. And it's like we're ignoring all of the dangers that we experienced in the past. We're ignoring history. And it's like we were repeating it on a global basis. And so it's very dangerous. But information, correct information, and getting the information out and being diligent about, you know, watching for these things, and being diligent about and careful about who you vote for in the polls. And, you know, volunteer to be a watcher at the voting polls, because, you know, they're not going to do as much damage if we're watching them. But if we're not watching them, then they're going to get away with dumping ballots like they did in 2020, for example. So, we got to be active and not passive. If we are passive, we've basically given up, and we're given over to the enemy, and whatever our fate will be, will be.
Well, the signs are all around us. I think there is a general awakening going on, and people of principle are starting to stand up and take notice with meetings at school boards. I mean, go to those meetings, or your city council. Go to those meetings. See who's there and what they're thinking. And then speak up. Tell people what you think, what you stand for. And that especially goes for Christ followers. Stand up. Talk about what's important to you. And we can get this thing fixed, but it may take a generation. That's the war's begun. Don, thanks so much. I want to mention the website, creationmoments.com. That's a place where there's lots of scientific information that supports and explains the biblical story of creation. You find it a useful place for a visit and informative. creationmoments.com. Don, thanks so much. Appreciate what you brought us this morning, and we'll... talk to you again in a week or so.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, John. Very interesting.
Bye-bye.